Hello, Jets fans. It's me, David. We are back, and this time we are doing something and breaking new ground. We are previewing a round of 16 FFA Cup clash that involves the Newcastle Jets as they travel this Wednesday down to Melbourne to take on Melbourne City in the final round, I guess the final match day of the round of 16. Here to preview the game with me, first of all, is Dr. Emma. How are you?
Good, Dave. How are you?
Good, and hello.
Hi.
Ahoy. Ahoy. We're out of practice, Em.
You asked me how I was. You didn't say hello, so the ahoy hoy didn't happen, so
That's okay. All right, well, I'll work
my
way
back into
it.
We are out of practice. I was very lucky I could even get into Skype, so.
Yeah, we had a few technical issues, but, you know, we sorted those out before Bodes jumped onto the call, and he is our other person joining us today. How are you, mate?
Good, mate. Good.
So, how have you been, Penaldo? How was the football season this year?
Didn't make the finals this year, but I did spend the midst of it in Russia. So, yeah, it was a good footballing. Well, I don't think I really had an off season. I've pretty well just been in season the whole time.
So, you say there that you didn't make finals, and you jump straight into the fact that you went to Russia. Is that a subtle dig, mate? Or
a little one.
Very good. Well, welcome to you both to the pod. As is tradition, we will start with the opening question, and Bodes will come to you. The question today is, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Okay, so when you gave this to me this morning, I actually remember in year three being asked this question. At this point in my life, I wouldn't say football was my number one sport, so cricket was. So I think I wrote down I wanted to be Australia's Test cricket captain, but thinking about it now, after all the mess that Steve Smith went through, I think I just would have been happy to play cricket at all. So, yeah, that was mine.
So, mate, where did you see yourself playing? Did you see yourself captaining from the gully like Steve Waugh? Did you see yourself captaining from first slip like Mark Taylor? What did you think?
Yeah, I definitely would have been a first slipper in, like, and then retiring to do Fujitsu ads. So yeah, that would have done me nicely. But to be honest, I reckon just a good all rounder who bowled a bit, who was a good run scorer.
Off his leggies, medium pace.
Medium pace, I think, with a bit of swing.
Okay, very good. Dr. Emma, what about you? What did you want to be when you grew up?
Oh, I was a really argumentative little kid. Like, I just like to argue about everything. So I thought I was going to be a lawyer. I thought I was going to be a lawyer for as long as I could remember. And then I actually started a law degree, and I was like, oh, lawyers don't actually get to argue that much. It's a whole lot of paperwork and boring stuff. So, yeah, I decided I'd do science, and that's actually where you get to argue with people a lot. So, yeah, still got to do what I thought I was going to do, just a little bit different.
Yeah, very good, very good. Well, me, the first thing that I can really remember wanting to be when I grew up was real estate. I wanted to be a real estate agent. I don't know why.
I thought you wanted to be real estate.
No. But I wanted to be a real estate agent, and I don't remember what I wanted to be before that. So that's the answer that I'm going to put up. And I don't know. There's still always time, I suppose. There's still always time. But what to the listeners, what did you want to be when you grow up? I'm interested to hear some of the things. I mean, I thought that there might have been a police officer Emma became a doctor. But I thought that there may have been something like that in there. Very interesting, very interesting. So enough about the cricket. And enough about law. We will move on to previewing the round of 16 clash with Melbourne City. Now, we'll take a step back. We didn't get to review the game on the Gold Coast. I mean, we did a post-game discussion where I had basically no voice and we consumed a fair amount of beer. And what did you take away from the match?
Other than a slight hangover, I guess for me it was a good jumping off point, but obviously we weren't up to form really, with the boys just getting home from their Europe trip right before that game. So for me it was a good jumping off point, but it highlighted that we weren't quite there yet in our pre-season preparations. And I guess wondering what's going to happen in the front third for the rest of the cup and for the beginning of the A-League season, I guess is what I was left wondering after that game.
We'll certainly come on to the front third, but Bodes, Emma touched on it there, that the boys were clearly tired, they were jet-lagged, they'd flown in before from Spain. A 1-0 win, you'll take it. It wasn't necessarily pretty, but we were effective.
Yeah, we were. We got the goal at all that mattered. I think if anything we'll learn from this is I don't think we'll take second division teams lightly. I think we next year, if we're in the same sort of situation, we won't be scheduling pre-seasons where we get back 2 days before we play. So, yeah, hopefully next year we have a couple more days rest and get into Australian time zones before we play.
I mean, Gold Coast did have their chances, Boats. Did you feel that they were good for a goal? I mean, Glenn Moss certainly impressed. I thought he was one of the standouts for the Jets on the night.
Yeah, I thought Gold Coast were really good value. I think it just proves just when the team's in season and playing well, it's and they had the run of legs. I thought, and especially in that second half, they actually passed the ball around a bit. And if I'm not mistaken, they're not even a first division NPL team in Queensland, are they? They're second division, is that correct?
No, they're moving up. They're moving up to the NPL next
year. Oh, okay. So they were second division this year, which is impressive for them. I thought Glenn Moss was probably our best player, in my opinion.
I guess it may look or could lead to some of the results, or as they call them, magic of the cup and giant killings that we've seen so far this year. I mean, Melbourne victory last week, for example. Do you think it would send the FFA to reconsider the way that they do the drawing six A-League teams against each other in that round of 32, when, as Bode said, the NPL and the state league clubs can actually, member federation clubs, pardon me, can actually hold their own against the Jets, against the A-League clubs, while also seeing it as a reward and a draw card? It's not necessarily the fait accompli as most would think it to be.
Yeah, and I think the doing it as a reward as well, I think, is a good point. I think even though they lost, the Gold Coast United fans really enjoyed having us there on the coast, and you know that was a spectacle for them in that stadium. And you know it is fun to have an A-League team come to your smaller home ground, even though that was a pretty impressive ground. But also, I think that is one of the best things about football. I mean, there's been people on Twitter saying, oh, you know, what does it say about the FFA and management and blah, 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 if the last year's winners can get knocked out of, you know, the FFA Cup at this round. But that's the beauty of football, I think, is that anyone can win on the day. And I think that is what makes the FFA Cup fun. So yeah, you know, even if we were one of the teams that got knocked out by a lower team, I still would think that it's a fun thing about the cup structure. So yeah, I don't think it's a problem at all.
Yeah, well said. And it was something that we discussed on the preview pod, was our concerns with Jetstar. So let's give the people an update. I'm sure that there are those that were wondering how we went with the notorious Gold Coast flight that Anthony warned us about with the Jetstream on tour. How did the flight up there go? Were they on time?
They were on time, and I thoroughly enjoyed the trip up. The way back, a little bit left to be desired, however.
Yes.
I've got a part to play in this. Your late flight home cost us Glenn Wilson or Wen Gilson for our football team at South Cardiff. So, yeah, I'm also cranky at Jetstar on this, even though I was not impacted directly.
Yes. On the upside, while we waited in the airport for the 5 or 6 or however many hours it was to come home, was when I learnt how to play the Fantasy Football League that you guys set up for the Jetstream League this year. Yep. So I wouldn't be involved in our EPL Fantasy League if it wasn't for the Jetstar delay. And even though I'm doing quite poorly, I'm seeing this as a season of building to learn how to do it.
Squad rebuild for next season.
Yeah, we're in week 3 and I'm already like, yeah, this is a year of rebuilding. So I know what those managers feel like now. But yeah, if we didn't have that delay, I would not be a part of this. And I am, even though I suck at it right now, I thoroughly enjoy it. And am thoroughly enjoying it, and I'm going to figure it out, and I'll smash you all next year.
Absolutely. Well, I think you're 1-1 at the moment, so you're not actually doing as bad as you think, but we'll come on to that a little bit later. I must say, though, my highlight of the delay in Brisbane Airport was the, I reckon, a good 20 to 30 minutes that Glenn and I spent Googling pictures of Ben Halloran, because I was dead set convinced that Ben Halloran was on the flight to Newcastle and he was signing for us. There was a guy that was a dead set ringer for Ben Halloran. And I
swear to you,
next
to me on the way home?
He sat next to you.
He was in my row on the way home, yeah.
Yeah, well, it wasn't Ben Halloran in the end, people. He signed for Adelaide, I think, the day after. So clearly it wasn't Ben Halloran. But it killed some time.
Definitely his doppelganger, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, preparations for the game for the Jets. They had a trial versus the Mariners on this passing Saturday. And, Bodes, the Jets were a bit slow out the blocks, I suppose. But you were at the game. How did you find it?
Yeah, I thought other than the first 10 minutes, I thought we struggled. But for the next 40 minutes while the first team was on the pitch, I was super impressed. I thought Ronald Vargas and Dimi Vitratis were absolutely excellent. I think it got mentioned today, but I picked up it on Saturday pretty early that they swapped Thurgate with Petrados and moved him into the middle. And I thought actually Ronnie Vargas did an excellent job linking up with him in a false nine role. I wouldn't say he played as an out-and-out striker. He played as a false nine that allowed Hoff and Thurgate to cut in when attacking. So, yeah, it would be very interesting to see what Ernie does on Wednesday night in that regard.
Do you think that we saw the Jets starting lineup? How do you think we're going to look to replace Joey Champness there, Bodes? Who came into the starting lineup for him? Was it Thurgate?
So it was Thurgate that came in. They played. Thurgate came in for Ben Kantorowski after he was injured in the warm up, and Redenton was the one who played wide left. So, but they changed it around. They moved Dimi from wide, and they moved him into the centre and pushed Thurgate to one of the wings. So, I think this week maybe Thurgate will drop out, but I'm not sure who for. But I'd really like to see Ronnie Vargas as a false nine again.
Did Cantor's injury look serious, mate?
It happened with about probably 10 minutes the warm-up ago. He walked off. He looked like he had discomfort, but it obviously wasn't picked up until he was... until he was out before the game, or until they announced it before. So, no, I wouldn't say it looked serious.
Okay. All right. Well, interesting to see what that plays in with, I guess, the game coming up this weekend. Since the Jets did come back from the Gold Coast, they haven't played any games that bar that trial on Saturday, and they haven't travelled. I mean, is that now looking to consolidate, I guess, what they've learned in the camps away and put that into practice?
Well, I hope that they have been training hard in the meantime, even if they haven't had a lot of game time. And I think, again, that's another good thing about the structure of this cup is it does give us some opportunities for game time pre-A-League season. So I don't think it's going to be a problem. I did see a tweet today about... O'Donovan training hard, though, which I think is a little bit inconsequential. I hope the rest of the boys are training hard, though. But, yeah, I guess, you know, I don't think Melbourne City's had that much game time themselves, so I guess it's an even kind of thing.
It's interesting, I guess, with the Jets lining up against a fellow A-League team. I kind of see it as a equalising factor, Bodes, with Melbourne City being in the same sort of pre-season position that we are.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think this will be a fairer contest than actually in the Gold Coast one was. I think in terms of conditioning, we're at the exact same point.
So since the Gold Coast game, we've had Joey Champness sustain an injury. It's a fracture in his foot that's going to rule him out until late December, early New Year. Really, really unfortunate for Joey. I mean, that understates it, Bodes, but... really poor timing for the Jets and for Joey when he was starting to... Well, he was going to play a key part this year.
Yeah, I think this year was his opportunity to take on that possibly McGree and / Naboo role where he'd get a solid run in the starting lineup, and I think we'd finally get to see the potential. But his loss is now someone's gain. I think Redenton and Thurgate have really got an opportunity between them now to maybe possibly take on that wide position.
And who for you is in the lead spot for that
position? I'd say Redenton at this point, purely just on age and experience.
Okay. The Jets haven't made any recruitment announcements as well. I was kind of hoping that we would have made some sort of signing into the team in the period, but we haven't. But there have been rumours with another podcast, Crossbar Capers, having an interview with Laurie where he said this week, within the next, well, this was, I think, Friday, next 4 to 5 days, the Jets would be announcing the signature of a striker. That's exciting news, but possibly a little bit too little too late?
Oh, I don't think it's too little too late. I think it's important that it happens, and if we need to take time to get the right person, I think that's worth waiting for. I mean, I guess it's too little too late if we're serious about winning the FFA Cup, but in terms of the start of the A-League season, I still think there's plenty of time to get someone incorporated into the team. So, yeah, I would rather someone now than no one at all.
No, that's fair enough. No, good point. I'm just having a read of James Gardner's article in the Herald, which will be out, depending on when you listen to this. It's out on Tuesday. Looks like Ben Kantorovsky, strained calf, is in doubt, and also Johnny Katrumbas with a hamstring injury bodes. So we'll jump back to the squad. How are you lining up with that information at hand?
I think the only real option we have at the moment, if we're going to continue to play Hoffman in a forward role, which I think he needs to anyway, is for Cowburn to play there. I thought on Saturday he was one of our weaker options, but maybe the extra run, he'll find his form back. So, yeah, I think Cowburn's the only realistic option we have at that position at the moment.
Right back or centre mid?
Right back. We'll play. I assume we'll play, it will be Dimmy and Stephen Nagarkovic in the centre, like on Saturday.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
I think I'd put Georgevski over on the right, put Vyitsa back in, and then put Cowburn into the mids.
Yeah. Vyitsa didn't even get on the field on Saturday, which I found interesting. So whether he's carrying an injury or just form in general.
That's been a real possible fall from grace for Vyitsa, considering where he started on the fringe. He's almost back to where he started 12 months ago. Boats. It's a funny and a strange situation where you said he's not even got on the field.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And look, in the second half, Ernie ran the changes I'm now not even sure whether he was in the squad. I'd have to go back and have a look at the picture of the lineup. But yeah, just a real fall from grace for him.
So, you raise an interesting point, and I actually tend to agree with what you say. That would be the approach I'd be looking to take if Katrumbas is out. Simply because I don't know how we would fill the centre mid if Nick Cowburn played at right back. If they were to play Nick Cowburn, who are our options? Are we looking to maybe drop Dimmy back next to Stevie UG, as Bodes has said they played on Saturday, with a front three then of, I guess, Thurgate, Vargas, Hoff, and Redenton? Yeah?
Yeah, I guess that's possible. It doesn't leave us much depth in terms of substitutions, though, which against another A-League team, I think we're going to need a bit of depth. But that said, I guess you could cycle people in positions to make the subs work, but yeah, it does leave us lacking a little bit of depth and does kind of make it a little bit more prudent that we do need to get that extra signing.
Costa Petratis is another name I guess we haven't mentioned there. He did start the game against Gold Coast. Could he also come in there at some point, Em?
Look, he could in, I guess, theoretical terms. I would argue that he didn't do enough against the Gold Coast to have impressed me enough for me to put him back in. Mm-hmm. I guess maybe as that bench player for the front third. He could be used in that way, but I don't think he's done enough to start again.
What role did he play on the weekend, Bodes?
He come on and played on the left wing, I'm pretty sure. They played, they moved Roy into the centre. Yeah, he played left wing.
Okay, no worries. Well, I guess we'll talk about our opponents for the game before we look at the approach. And Melbourne City's squad changes, they've had quite a few, with Michael Halloran coming in from Rangers. One that, for me, still stings, but Riley McGree coming in on loan from Club Bruges. Lachlan Wales from the Central Coast Mariners. Anthony Caceres coming in from Manchester City on loan. And also recruiting Roston Griffiths, into the club. But their outs, Manny Muscat, Nick Fitzgerald, Bruce Kamau, Ruan Tongyik, Christian Carvalho, Stefan Mauk, Marcin Budzinski, Oliver Bozanic, Dennis Genereau, and Daniel Arzani. So, quite a few outs, quite a few ins. How are you seeing Melbourne City's squad at the moment, Bodes?
Yeah, a lot of outs. Although I'm very impressed with their midfield. Roston Griffiths, Luke Bratton after another year, and probably Anthony Caceres. That's a pretty you'd assume that they're going to play a three. That's a pretty handy three to have. So it's very experienced. And McGree as well. It'd be interesting actually to see where he gets played. So I'd assume McGree might actually be a bit of a direct replacement for Azani, and they'll play him maybe wide right, cutting in. But yeah, nonetheless, it's still a very strong squad.
They still boast the names, them, of Scott Jamieson, Dario Vidicic, and of course the goal scorer in their extra time 1-0 win over the Brisbane Roar, and a guy who always seems to score against us, Bruno Fornaroli.
Yeah, and I guess they were kind of playing in that last match, the way they lined up, they were basically playing Fornaroli on his own at the front, and the game plan was get it to him. So I guess in one way, even if he does have a history of scoring against us, he's an obvious player to neutralise in terms of reducing their attack. So I guess it kind of helps in that way.
We look at the round of 16 fixtures for Melbourne City over the last 3 years. They had a 3-2 win over Hakoa Sydney City last year. The year before, they had a 2-1 win over the Brisbane Strikers. And the year before that, they thumped the Phoenix 5-1. Can we read much into those results, Bodes? I mean, the Jets, this is uncharted territory, as I said. But it's still a competitive fixture. Do you think it's going to be more even? Because personally, I'm quite worried about Melbourne City.
I wouldn't say I'm worried. I wouldn't read anything to the history. Every year, A-League teams have massive squad changes, usually, except us, really, if you look across the league. So, yeah, they've got a good squad, but it's like how we said earlier in the piece. We're both at the same time pre-season, and if you want to take on a team with a good squad, you want to take them on early in their pre-season, which it is. So, yeah, I think we've got a good opportunity to get the points. Oh, sorry, go through to the next round.
As much as you can read into it, Em, goals seem to be... getting the ball into the back of the net seems to have been a little bit of an issue for Melbourne. They struggled. They did score against Brisbane, but it took 100-odd minutes. And they've also played out behind closed doors last Tuesday afternoon, a nil-all stalemate with Adelaide at Cooper's Stadium. So, is there... I think they've got a terrific starting lineup with a little bit of depth as well. Michael Halloran has apparently also been impressing when he's come off the bench. Do you think City have the firepower up front to cause a relatively, I guess, the area of the Jets that is quite settled, which is the back four and the goalkeeper, much trouble?
Yeah, well, they've got McGree now, which still hurts, and we know that he can score a good goal. But, yeah, as I said, neutralising Fornaroli I think is going to be the absolute key. And I guess you are right that if they're going to have the most pizzazz, I guess, up front, it's probably good that we have a more senior back line, even if that might be a bit disrupted if we don't have Katrumbas playing. I think it, you know, as you said, you know, scoring the goals is obviously what matters. If they didn't manage to score against Adelaide, I think that's a good sign for us. But I do think that their play is going to be lob it to Fornaroli and see what he can do.
Fair enough. Okay, so the Jets approach. And how are they go? How are we going to play? Are we going to look to take the ball, take it to City, or are we going to look to hit them on the counter and try and absorb their pressure? How would you be setting up for this match?
Well, I think I'm well known as an advocate for us as hitting them on the counter attack. I think that's definitely something that we succeed at in general. But thinking about the City lineup, they've got a real mix of young ones who are going to want to prove themselves and a few solid, more experienced players. And it is quite a mix. And I think going hard against the younger ones, if they start Lockie Wales again, taking it to Riley McGree as an ex-Jet, I think hustling those guys early on, I think, would be an important part of the play. But I think we do much better historically and currently if we do soak up the pressure and go on the counter-attack. So that's probably what I would do.
Bodes, what about you? How are you lining up? And how do you think City are going? What sort of lineup do you think City will put out? Full strength or a bit of a mixture?
No, 100% full strength in City. I think it'll be full strength for us or what we can muster up. For me, I think we've just got to get Petrados and Vargas on the ball and look to feed the quicker players like Redenton and Hoff through the in behind. I think Jason Hoffman's probably going to have to have one of his bigger preseason games, but I think he's been smashing it so far. So hopefully he can get a couple of goals.
I really want to see Hoff up top. I really, really want to see him as striker, and I think that's where he can probably do best. But he can also cause a bit of grief for the centre backs because of his size and his height and his strength. And he's been knocking the goals in for fun almost during pre-season as well. Did he play striker? Or was he out wide?
So basically, to explain it, so Vargas in that false nine role, he would drop in to receive the ball, and Redenton and Hoffman would slide in and play, and players like inverted wingers turned into strikers. So I guess if they're going to play like that on Wednesday night, I expect you'll see Hoffman. He'll probably in a defensive shape. He'll be out wide, but when they're attacking, he'll come inside.
Essentially, we look to overload the midfield.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. So how important is this result? For me personally, it's really important because we'll continue to have competitive fixtures, and I think that's really important. But, do you think the Jets will be disappointed if they are to go down on Wednesday night?
I think probably what's the most important is these count as competitive fixtures, right? So these count against Roy's ban, yeah?
Yep.
The further we get through the FFA Cup, the sooner Roy is going to come back in the season proper. So I think for me, that's the real motivation to get as far as we can through the FFA Cup so that we're not wasting Roy, essentially. I think at the end of the day, if it's another A-League team that knocks you out, that's probably, you know, a little less egg on the face than if you get slayed by one of the smaller teams. But in terms of the season we had last year, I think there's probably expectations on us to do better at the Cup this year than we have in previous years. So I would like to see something come of it. But at the same time, if it does all go wrong, I'm probably not going to be terribly disappointed.
Okay. Bodes, what about you?
Look, I'm not going to tear my hair out if we go out, but I think actually, really, meaning I think we've actually got a really good opportunity to win this thing. We've now got what I think is it two or three A-League teams that have been knocked out. So look, the opportunity for us to face harder opposition post this game is slimmer. There's more lower division teams in, and I think we'll be more into our pre-season, which means I think we've got a better chance of winning. So, look, I think if we get past this, we've really got an opportunity here to potentially win the thing. So, yeah, look, I'd love to win.
Yeah, I would too. I suppose it's the Jets, but we always say that, but then I'm just worried that we don't have the depth and we're a bit blunt up top. Without a Donovan, Joey Champ is missing and the pace that he offers, particularly off the bench, that's the area that I'm concerned. Not so much defensively, it's whether we have the ability to score against City and the defensive discipline if we're going to be absorbing a fair bit of pressure. Vargas' return, though, is massive and can't be understated. I expect that he's going to start. So that is really exciting. Prediction time then. Bodes, what are you predicting?
Goals for the Jets. 2-1.
Okay. 2-1. Yep, M?
2-1.
I'm expecting a 1-1 draw and a penalty shootout.
Oh. I don't need that on a Wednesday night. I go to bed during the week early.
Yeah, and then I think that's going to be pretty hard for us. I think that's two experienced goalkeepers and a lot of non-experienced strikers coming from us. Mm. I want to be optimistic and say that we can get over them if it goes down that way, but I'm not 100% certain if we can.
I mean, I look at I didn't go through the fixture facts earlier, but in the league competition down in Melbourne, we've had 11 matches and we've only won twice during that time. It's certainly a bit of a graveyard for us going down there. But I just can't bring myself to back against us. I'm going to say we'll sneak it. I'm going to go Bodes. I'm going to go 2-1 win to the Jets. I think Hoffie's going to come through and score one. And Daniel Georgeski will get the other one. That's what I'm going to go with. So, yeah, that starts there. So, we'll talk about some news, and there has been, we talk about signings for the A-League team. The W-League team has certainly started their recruitment drive early, and it's a really impressive name that they've brought to the club on a one-year deal with former Melbourne City striker Larissa Crummer. She is also a Matilda. Linking up with the club. It's a really, as I said, impressive signing, Emma, and certainly a statement of intent early on by the W League team.
Yeah, it feels like early on, but it's not really that early on. I'm wondering when the W League is going to actually announce their fixtures. I think that's getting a little bit close to when we'll actually expect to see them play before, and they still haven't told us who's playing when. But yeah, huge signing, great signing. I'm absolutely thrilled with that as a signing. And it kind of came out of nowhere. I thought that there'd be some chatter about that kind of signing before it actually came to fruition. But I heard, and I follow quite a lot of people in social media who are very heavily into the W League, and I heard no chatter before that was announced. So, yeah, I'm super excited. And I think that'll be good in terms of the finishing that the girls didn't have last year. They we've quite developed in the midfield now, and we're quite solid in the back with the girls. But yeah, to have someone who we know can score goals, I think is going to be really important, especially since we don't know what international players are coming back yet.
Yeah, Dan Hanny, we're looking at you, mate. You should have given us the heads up on that one, mate. Bodes, Larissa was the Golden Boot winner in 2015-16 season, and she's just come back from the recent Tournament of Nations with the Matildas.
Yep.
Her signing, does that put, I guess, a bit of doubt on... Because goals have been the struggle for the Jets in the W League. Katie Stengel went quite a fair way to addressing that last year. Do you think that maybe puts a question mark over... if not Katie's return to the team,
That's what I was just thinking. I'm just looking at their squad now. You've got Katie, who obviously she's a foreigner player, and I'm just looking at the only other really names we have on the forward list is, I guess, Jenna Kingsley, who I think still plays more in a wide position, and Tara Andrews, who's a local. So I assume Tara would come back purely on a local value. So, but look, we haven't got that much depth up front, so maybe Katie comes back as well and they play the two up top together, which would be really exciting to see.
What do you think, Em?
Oh, I'd love that to see them play together. And that is one of the things I hate about the W League. It always seems like absolute last minute that we find out what internationals we're getting. So, yeah, I hope Katie comes back. That would be awesome. And especially, yeah, playing two up front, that would make the games really exciting.
Very interesting. Well, moving on from actual signings to potential signings, there's been one name tentatively linked with the Jets, and that's Chris Economidis. Through goal.com bodes. I'm not sure they're the most reliable of sources. They've got a bit of a hit and miss result with their announcements, but or their rumours, I should say. But City are apparently, along with Mark Birigidi, City are the favourite to sign both of these players. But the Jets are apparently in one of the teams in the discussions with Economidis. It would be a massive statement of intent if we were successful in recruiting him.
Yeah, I just think this would be an announcement, I guess, to the A-League and potentially the world with Australian players based overseas that we're a serious club again and we can attract these sort of players. I think when Riley McGree came back, it was proof that we're a good place to come and play. And look, Riley McGree's got a move to Melbourne City, but I think he got his career back on track with us, and I think it could be the same for Chris if he was to come here. He could spend a full season under Ernie and improve, and yeah, I think it'd be awesome if we were to get him.
Bodes is making a good point, Em. I mean, McGree is one person who springs to mind. You look at what we've done with Kantorovsky, Andrew Nabut, Jason Hoffman, even to an extent as well, and the development that Dimi Petratos showed last year. The Jets certainly are developing a reputation as a team where you can come, be successful, grow and or revitalise your career, and you can then move on if you so please, and we're not really going to stand in your way providing we are fairly compensated.
Yeah, and I guess ending with we are fairly compensated, you know, some of those have worked out as good deals for us. But it is a bit rough when you are the team who kind of welcomes people in and builds them up and then they move on to bigger and better things. And, you know, I'm always happy for our guys who have then gone on to bigger and better things. But, you know, at some point it would be nice if someone could stick around and do a little bit more for us before moving on to bigger and better things. But yeah, I guess to form those relationships and, you know, maybe some of those players will come back in the future. And, you know, Kantorovsky, I think, is a good example of a local player who has stuck around and has done right by the club and the club's done right by him. So, yeah, it is always nice when your players succeed. But I just would like to see some. I feel like, you know, if we'd had Andy Nabut for, you know, 6 more months, it would have meant so much more compared to when we did let him go. So, yeah.
Well, anyway.
No more favourites, Linda Drummond.
Yes, Linda. Oh, Linda. Well, thanks for favouriting, for following Wayne Brown for us as well at that point there, Linda. But, moves. Well, I guess that's all for the news. We'll touch quickly on an interesting topic that Emma spoke about before, and that is the Jetstream EPL Fantasy League. We'll start with the overall competition, Bodes. And Bodes, Bodacious Babes team name. Yeah, how long did it take you to come up with that one?
About the best part of 30 seconds.
I think it's 30 seconds too long you spent on it. Yeah.
Just rolled off the tongue, mate. That's what I was going for. And yeah, no, the babes have been going okay. It just we're gonna fall into form over the season.
Well, you're currently sitting in 7th spot, and in the overall league we have 25 people in, so thank you for everyone who's in there.
So I'm in the top half. That's good.
Yeah, you're doing all right in the top half. Luke Durbin with placeholder FC is currently out on top at 209 points, with a fair gap to second spot with Luke Blundell at CAFF CAF FC. Maybe, I don't know, Luke. You can correct me on that, at 179. Ooh. So yeah, Luke Durbin is certainly out to an early lead, but it's really tight between fifth, me, and fourth with Say Mo More. and Blufftown Swagger with CD Good on 179, 78, 77 and 76 respectively. So it's interesting there, and we'll keep on scrolling down to 18th spot where we have Teamy McTeamface, Emma Beckett. Talk to us about the name, Teamy McTeamface. This was a conversation we were having in the airport.
Someone had done a something McSomething something earlier in the day. I can't remember what it was. One of you boys had said something. So the something McSomething face was in my head. So was under pressure at the airport because, you know, when I did finally load this app and start entering things is when they did finally call our flight. So I was under a bit of time pressure and I did actually use the flight home to pick my first team. But I would like to point out I might be down at number 18, but I'm still beating Bitch. I just called him Bitch. I'm still beating Bitch. Oh, gosh. Sorry, Mitch. I'm still beating Mitch, who's down at number 22.
Yes, yeah, so Hadjuk Moy is down there in 22nd spot, but he is ahead of Gaz Fisher's Fisherman.
And more importantly, I'm beating my boyfriend. So, as a victory for the women, I'm quite
winging on a prayer.
Quite pleased about this. However, yes, I am very impressed with his team name, Winging on a Prayer.
That is a good name.
Can I jump in with a comment and say that I also want to say it was very bold to hear that Wayne Gilson went out and used his wild card in round two. Oh, sorry, round three. Just a tip to all the people out there, you know, the season goes for 38 rounds. What are you going to do? Like, what is Wayne going to do in January when six of his players get injured in 1 week? He's going to be screwed. So
I haven't even figured out what the wild card is yet. So
the wild card's like you can make as many transfers as you want without being punished.
So he can still make as many transfers as he wants.
Oh, he's just going to be punished with points.
Yes, and he is sitting in ninth with Carhold FC at the moment. So, Carhold. And look, we'll touch quickly then over to the Jetstream Head-to-Head League, where we've got 18 people entered in that competition. Em, you're one from one. Bodes, you are two from two. In third spot. I'm in second with two from two. And no surprise, Luke Durbin is also up the top there. Needless to say, Luke, if you're listening, you're probably not going to be invited back next year, mate. you're winning too much already.
he's been called onto the big leagues. He's being transferred. Someone's met his release clause.
Yeah,
I feel like maybe I need to get a masterclass before we kick him out.
Yeah, okay. Well, Luke, if you want to consult with him, you can hit her up on Twitter.
Last week I did win my head-to-head by just one single point, though. So the fact that I managed to win a head-to-head is probably just a bit of a fluke.
No,
it's probably not going to happen again.
Well, it says a lot when average is currently sitting in seventh spot as well because we didn't have enough people. But and then we've got Mick just above. That is Mick's Amigos as well. And that's my mate Mick, and he's been scrolling through all the matches trying to find when we both face each other because he wants to, I don't know, he wants to put a bet on it or something like that. I'll wait and see with that. So that's the fancy.
Dave, that's when you use your triple captain.
Yeah. Bench play as well. So that is the EPL fantasy. We'll definitely be doing an A-League one, that's for sure. We'll continue to update this for, I guess, whatever the host has an interest in it. So I think that's it. Thanks very much, Em.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
You're welcome, mate. Glad we again sorted out those technical issues. And yeah, are either of you heading to Melbourne, by the way?
I was going to, and then I accidentally spent all my money.
That happens. Yeah,
I was super duper keen. I was like, midweek flight, I'll just pop down, pop back, and then I realised I'd not only spent all the money on my credit card, I'd overdrawn my credit card, so I had to decide to be sensible and stay at home instead.
Fair enough. Bodes, what about you, mate? Bodie?
He's going down to Melbourne already.
Yeah, Bodie's late for his plane, so we're just going to wrap that up right there. You might have gone on mute. He's still here, but... You back, Bodes? No? All right. Well, if you've liked what you've heard today... You can leave us a review.
This is the warm up. We're like the jet lag out their last game. Where we'll get back into the swing of things. We'll get match fit.
Yep, absolutely. Well, you can leave us
I'm back.
Oh. So, hello, mate.
I was just looking at my flights to Melbourne, seeing if I could go.
You couldn't wait the 30 seconds for me to wrap this up?
No, I had to start looking, but no, I'm not going.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you. As I've been trying to say, iTunes, you can leave us a review. Please be nice.
No, not on this. Not on this one.
Don't judge this one. Judge the ones that we did last year where we talked to people who were good. You can also...
judge the good ones.
Oh, God. Facebook.com/JetStreamNewey. Twitter and Instagram @JetStreamNewey. Or you can email us at podcast@newcastlefootball.net. There's going to be a hosting gig going very soon, I'm telling you that. Hit us up at the forums at newcastlefootball.net and join in the conversations there. Until then, if you've got this far, you're a very dedicated listener, so thank you very much. Go the Jets.
Go the Jets.
Oh, God.
Go bodacious babes.
I think we work better under beer and with the camera in front of us. Oh, I'm down, Benjamin!